Again, praise the Lord and welcome everybody to Open Arms Community Church. I don't know about you, but I am super, super excited about what the Lord has done over these last 15 years and the stories that you got to hear. In part, I want to let you know that the full video testimony of each one of those folks that you saw up on the screen will be posted online in their totality, and we encourage you to go on and check those out, because what you heard is just a scratching of the surface. And of course, even their testimonies, a few minutes that they are, is only a scratching of the surface of the work that God has done through Open Arms Community Church. And when I say Open Arms, we're not talking about an organization. We're talking about we the people. Amen? So as we get started, we're here to celebrate 15 years of mission and ministry together as Open Arms Community Church. And I want to just run through a small list. This is not all-inclusive, but please bear with me as I brag on the Lord and we the people, amen? So here's the things that over these 15 years, here's some of the things that we have gotten to see. Bodies healed, amen? We have seen relationships and families restored. We've seen those struggling with addiction find sobriety and freedom. We have seen those who come to us broken made whole. We've seen those who have found themselves weary and hopeless finding not only hope, but life that is truly life. We have raised up leaders into every sector of life here in our community and beyond. We have seen lives transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, entering into salvation through Jesus Christ and eternal well-being. Amen? Isn't that awesome? That's just the start. We have done many, many things to reach out to our community locally. We have done things such as gas buy-downs. We were the catalyst for a good many outreaches that we partnered with other churches and other organizations with. We partnered with the YMCA. We partnered with Grace Lutheran Church to do the Trunk or Treat, which we have served, I think, near about 3,000 people over the last several years, like each year being about around 3,000 people. It grew from a few hundred to several thousand that we touch in that outreach. We have been involved with a local businessman's business leaders outreach ministry that has helped disciple local business leaders and rallied them to reach out into their community, and they have started a ministry called Project Serve. We have given all kinds of things away, everything from water and soda pop to hot dogs. We did ice cream parties. We did full-blown block parties. We gave away stuff for those that were either homeless or just struggling financially, hats and coats and blankets and so on. We did fishing events for fathers and sons. We had mother-daughter banquets. We had concerts and benefit concerts and all kinds of benefits, getting involved in other benefits, serving. We snow shoveled people's driveways and sidewalks. We assisted people in need as they were struggling financially. We broadcast our services on the internet and reached thousands of people that way. We support local ministries and missions such as destinations. We sent people to Africa and to Haiti, and we sponsored and supported missionaries in both of those, the country and continents. And here's the other thing. We've started a number of ministries in-house. At one time, we had Open Arms Academy, an actual school. That ended up morphing into what we presently have, which is Open Arms Academy Co-op, which is cyber schoolers and homeschoolers that come together and learn. We have launched a Celebrate Recovery ministry. And there's a group of people that stepped up and saw that thing come to life. A widow's ministry has been birthed. We were a part of a partnership and a catalyst for seeing a sober living home come into fruition, which has launched over this last week. We also have been involved in seeing things like Solid Rock Fest. Destinations was launched via some of our leadership. We launched a another church, a site over in Port Allegheny. We have supported church launches and relaunches over the last 15 years in multiple locations. And we have been, whether you realize it or not, folks, we, Open Arms Community Church, have been a model for other churches to pattern after for effective ministry in places such as Erie, Pennsylvania, Buffalo, New York, State College, PA, Kansas, Indiana, Missouri, and Wisconsin. These are places where your impact has been felt. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, but we called all the churches in our region together to unified worship of the Lord, unified prayer for our country and our community and the churches in an event that we sponsored and put together called the One Event. Also, we fill positions of leadership within our denomination. Several of our folks here are serving on conference level leadership. Some have been tapped for national leadership. And we also are involved in some national initiatives that our denomination is doing. And then, of course, we do have the other things like a small capital campaign that we ran a while back. We're probably going to need to do some more for buildings and grounds. But here's the reality. Everything that I just described and so much more that we don't have time to talk about, the people coming to faith, the lives being changed, this is all because of the grace and the mercy and the work of God, first and foremost, and so we give glory to the Lord, but also because each one of you have stepped up to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to make a difference in our world, and to take what God has given to you and share it with others. So with that in mind, would you take a moment to just thank the Lord and thank these folks that have served? Amen. You know, and some of these people who have contributed to the fulfillment of this vision, they can't be here today. Pastor Andy, who was the launching pastor of this church, the church planter of Open Arms Community Church, you saw him sharing on the videos. He's pastoring another church, and he obviously isn't able to be here today. Some folks are no longer with us. And whether that's because they went on to be with the Lord, or whether it's because they moved away. But here's the reality, is we are where we're at today as a church because we are a people who believe that this thing is just too good to keep to ourselves, amen? And so we want to share it, we want to pass it on, we want to make sure that the world hears the good news of Jesus Christ. So as a result, many people have come to Open Arms and many more have come to Jesus. And we're really, really privileged and excited to be a part of that story, and I'm excited to share the journey with each one of you. So thank you for being a part of that. The question is this: as we celebrate where we are, where we have come from, and where we're at today, the big question is, what's next? And I want to share with you that I believe 100% exactly what you heard Pastor Andy share in his closing remark, that the best is yet to come. In August of this summer, my wife and I were celebrating our 20-year anniversary. And as we were celebrating, we felt that we just wanted to take time to pray. And we set aside this time to just really seek the Lord and to thank Him for all that He had done in our lives and in our marriage, to thank Him for our family, and to thank Him for our church family and the privilege that He had given us to be a part of this work. And we started to pray for God's direction. We prayed for His blessings, and we prayed for His wisdom and His guidance and His vision for our marriage, for our family, and for our church family. And while we were praying, the presence of God just became so real. So strong, it was tangible to me. And I felt the Lord start to speak to me. And for those of you who have been with us any length of time, you know that we have emphasized the difference between the Greek word logos, which is the word for word, and the Greek word rhema, which is another Greek word for word, but it is a special word. It is a revelatory word. It's a spoken word, spoken from God to our hearts. It's a word that is in season. It's a word that is vision casting. It's revelatory. It brings light and understanding in that it's a specific word for that specific moment and time. And I felt like the Lord started to impress upon me a word of scripture, a specific scripture that was for our day, our time, our lives, our ministry. And as I was praying and sensing the Lord speaking this to me, Marnie starts praying. And as she's praying, and she doesn't know what's happening in my heart and my mind, and all of a sudden, the stuff that's coming out of her mouth is exactly what I was sensing God say to me. This word that I'm going to be sharing with you is, in one sense, nothing new. It is really an undergirding, a reinforcement of who we already are, what we've already been doing. But on the other hand, it is very new, because it kind of takes who we are, who God has called us to be, and what we've been doing, and for lack of a better analogy, no, I won't go there, amplifies. I was going to say puts it on steroids, but we won't. I believe that what the Lord has called us to is truly greater. And in this sense, it will be new. In this sense, we will find ourselves venturing into new territory, engaging new people, new strategies, new trials, new challenges, new passion, new projects, new approaches to things, new experiences with God, new depths, new results, new stories. This is not coming from a change in who we are as a church, but a recalibration of who we are as a church. In a recalibration, friends, we don't go in and change from one thing to something else. We're not changing from a little economy car to a big pickup truck. It's not that kind of change. What we're doing is we're taking this amazing gift that God's given us of Open Arms Community Church. We're accepting and embracing exactly who God has always called us to be, but we are tweaking. Change is coming. And the effect of this change is huge. These changes will challenge us. They will cause us to have to step up our game. They will call us into new things that are uncomfortable. It will even be messy. But in these changes, friends, we will find that the machine will run at a higher level of efficiency and effectiveness. What God is calling us into, friends, is big. And like Andy said in his closing remarks, what has been achieved and accomplished was a great start. We've only begun the journey. God wants us to go higher and farther and deeper, and all the other words that you would use to describe a greater level of passion and maturity and impact in ministry. Before I share with you this word, I do want to make you completely aware that we are not talking about hype. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm very passionate about the Lord, but I'm not big on hype and melodrama. We don't need to exaggerate anything because we're dealing with the God of the universe. Amen? So this is not mere hype or emotion. This is a raw, very real and raw, focused strength and intensity to who God has called us to be as a real people experiencing a real God. And with a very passionate, a ferocious, fierce, and furious passion and focus, we want to live out this daily life of transformation. And this transformation, friends, as you and I both know, if you've been here for any length of time, especially if you were with us last week, the transformation we're talking about is far more than just a few changes from being immoral to being moral. When we say transformation, we're talking about God conformation, if that's a word. Transforming is God conforming. Amen? It's becoming who we were always made to be, the likeness and the image of God, fulfilling our very creation purpose. So where are we going? In the Open Arms Community Church vision statement, you find these words. It's in your outline. Our vision is to produce transformed lives, addressing spiritual needs, relationships, health, finances, education, and leadership. And if you look at that vision statement and you compare the last 15 years, you will find that that's exactly what we've been doing over these 15 years in small and great effect with varying degree of results. But the word I felt the Lord give me takes this and amplifies it. See, up to this point, we had this vision. We prayed. Where do these statements come from? They come from prayer and from the scripture. And in the design and the structuring of this church, what will this ministry look like? You heard Pastor Andy describing that it was meant to be a different kind of church. And as we searched the scriptures and as we prayed about what would our purpose be, what would our vision be and our mission and our core values, what would those be? Through the scriptures and through prayer, we came up with the statements that you see on the back of your program every week. However, when it came to the vision, there were multiple texts that we looked at and pulled from to determine that these would be our objectives, but somehow, and maybe it was just timing, we didn't grab on to this one. And so today I'm going to introduce you to a scripture you've heard before. Today I'm going to introduce you to the foundational text from this point forward for the vision statement of Open Arms Community Church. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 61. Let's read it together and then we'll unpack it real quick. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, before we go and read it, let me also say this. This is the text that Jesus cited as the statement of his earthly ministry and redemptive work. When Jesus opened up the scrolls in the synagogue, it was this text that he turned to define who he was and what he was going to do here on earth. And so I think it's interesting that birthed in prayer, this is where we landed for the next season of Open Arms Community Church. In Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Friends, this is what Jesus declared was his mission on earth, his vision, the scope of what he came to achieve and accomplish. And today, I want you to understand, this is the foundation of the vision of Open Arms Community Church. Verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. I want you to circle the word Spirit, on, and anointed. And I want you to understand today that it all starts with a Spirit-filled life. This, friends, is a work of God, not the work of men. This is not us going out and doing something for God. This is us going out and joining God in his work, doing something with God. We will utilize the human talents and strategies and best practices that are available to do this work. But make no mistake, it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. We need more. We don't need more religion. We don't need more Mike. We don't need more of any one person or more good ideas. What we need is God. And we need to rely more upon him than ever before, because the work that lies before us is greater than anything we could do on our own or even combined. It is bigger than one single church. It's bigger than all the organizations combined. The brokenness of humanity requires nothing less than the intervention of God himself. So this work that you and I are called to, that we're going to talk about in just a couple minutes, this work that you and I are called to is not something that we can just engage in, hoping that our intellect, our intelligence, and our strength is going to be enough, because I can tell you right now, it won't be. No, the stories that you heard and the stories that have yet to unfold are going to require imperatively nothing less than for us to be a Spirit-filled people, a people that walk with God, a people that move with God, a people that dare to believe God and trust him for bigger and greater things than we could ever achieve on our own. Our faith is more than words, friends. It's more than a theology. It's more than a book. From cover to cover of the sacred text that we call God's Word, friends, we see that our faith is something that is lived out as human beings, ordinary people engaging an extraordinary God, and him doing in their lives and through their lives far beyond anything we could ever do on our own. In your outlines, the Spirit-filled life, and we need to know this, is wild, untamed, uncivilized, and it can be very unpredictable. And we look to the words of Jesus to confirm that. If you and I want to be comfortable and have routines and everything be orderly and nice in the way that we're used to it always being, we're in the wrong place. Because the Spirit of God can be very unpredictable. Because he knows things we don't know. He sees what we don't see. And where he leads, friends, is oftentimes in directions and places and into things that we would think are the worst decision you could ever make. It's not always a lateral transfer. In fact, I will tell you in my own experience and what I see in the scripture, more times than not, when God leads you into something new, the front end typically always requires sacrifice. It can be scary and intimidating and unnerving to those who are timid. But to those who are people of faith, it can be exhilarating and exciting as we step out into this adventure of God. Amen? Spirit of the Lord is on me. What does that mean? It's very important that you and I understand that there's a whole lot more. There's a much greater depth to God and the work of God on our behalf than we've been able to really delve into. And this is why we emphasize so much the importance of each one of us digging into God's word for ourselves, that we would get to know him and better understand who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. But to help bring just a little bit of light regarding this particular issue of being spirit-filled, I want you to make note that he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me. We know, if we have read any amount of the scriptures, that when we become a follower of Jesus, he makes us a new person. And that new person is on the inside, not the outside, right? I mean, if I was bald before I became a Christian, I'm bald afterwards, right? Didn't get the hair back. The change starts on the inside and works its way out. And the Bible describes the Holy Spirit being deposited in us as a guarantee that we belong to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He put that down payment on the inside. However, the Bible also says, Jesus himself said, that the Spirit of truth will be with you and in you. Two distinct locations. When describing the empowerment of God's people for being witnesses to the world, for the mission that God had called them to, Jesus in Luke 24 described it as being clothed with power from on high. So the Holy Spirit in, but also the Holy Spirit on. You wear your clothes on the outside of your body, right? And again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you will be received power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So the Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me. And what does that mean, anointing? In your outlines, the word anoint means to smear, spread, or rub on. So again, note that this is an external. We put our lotions on the skin, right, ladies? We can't reach into the inside and lather up, right? But what would even be the point? Why? What's this anointing about? Okay, so the Holy Spirit on or upon. Jesus describes it as an empowering thing, but what's the significance of it? To say that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to go and do these things. What's that mean? Anointed me. In your outlines, the anointing is to mark as special or authoritative. Friends, you and I are in a cosmic battle, a spiritual war that we're going to talk in great detail in the weeks to come. But you and I have been sent out by Jesus as sub-authorities, like police officers who go out into a community and deal with the thieves and the murderers and those who would do destruction. Well, we have an enemy, Jesus said, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he said that he has given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. This anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us is our badge to be able to say, stop in the name of the law. It is this empowerment of delegated authority, God's authority upon us, that empowers us to go out and do the works of the kingdom. And what does that look like? Verses picking up with the end of verse 1 and then on into verses 2 and 3, it says, to proclaim good news to the poor, He anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I want you to, at the top of that little portion of scripture, circle the word sent. Because, friends, we are a sent people. The Spirit of the Lord is on us so that we can go, not come and stay. Go and do the works of the kingdom. It's a mission, and it is messy, it is dirty, and we may even be wounded in this war. It's a reality of the context that we live in. It's not about coming and getting our lives cleaned up so now we're good moral churchgoers, high-fiving each other because we've got our ticket into heaven, right? No, it's something bigger. And as we go, friends, in going, we are going and representing. So we need to be representing well and right. We need to make sure, friends, that we're not just proclaiming in word, but also in deed, and that our words and our actions align. And we talked about that in the last several weeks. But in your outlines, we are sent to proclaim and do the works of the kingdom. So let's make sure we're telling. Let's make sure we get our message out, and let's make sure we're getting the message right. You will note in this text that it mentions the year of the Lord's favor and a day of the Lord's judgment. And friends, there is an unpopular component to the faith that we ascribe to. There is a standard of right and wrong that we are all going to be held accountable to. There is a redemptive work by God Himself who intervened as Jesus Christ, that He and He alone made a way of escape for all mankind, that we will one day all answer to whether we accepted or rejected His offer and work. There is a day that we have to answer for the lives we've lived, the games we've played. But there is a year of the Lord's favor. Amen? There is a goodness of God. There is a life that of blessing and hope and peace and joy and love that God wants us to all experience and walk in and share with others. What are the works of the kingdom? We saw them listed, right? Comforting the mourning, serving those in need, healing the sick, raising the dead, setting captives free, taking care of the broken, the poor, and the powerless. Giving and providing for those who are struggling and needy and hurting. It's also interesting to note that the bulk of the work that is referenced here in this text that we just read is focused on what would be the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups, the attitudes, the mentalities, worldviews, perspectives, mindsets, mental and emotional health. That's very interesting. And also, probably then, not a coincidence that the strategy for transformation that is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, says that we are transformed through the renewing of our minds. We are called to go, we are called to serve, and we are called to do what is far beyond our ability to do. In verse 3, it describes that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Circle the word oaks, underline the word righteousness. Circle the word of, circle the word for, and circle the word his. First of all, note, friends, that we will be called. I want you to understand that we are all called, first and foremost, by God to come and be a part of his kingdom, a part of his family, and a part of his work. We're all called. And these last 15 years, we celebrate. But there's more to be done. And the truth is, for the many who have served, there are still more yet who can step up and serve and be a part of the story, right? Faithful and committed. Which, friends, in being called, it's not just that God calls us, but there's another question. What do others call us? How do other people see us? And what do they think about us and our so-called faith? What words would they use to describe our person and our relationship with God? Do the people who know us the best love and respect us the most? Do they see that integrity? What's our reputation with our family, with our friends and coworkers, our neighbors? What message do they see from our lives? God says they will be called oaks of righteousness. And friends, here's what the word oaks means. Yes, it means a strong tree. Not just any tree, a strong tree. But metaphorically, it also is used literally as a pillar, but also it's used to refer to a strong man or a leader or a chief. God, when his spirit comes upon us, when he does his redemptive work in us, he's not just setting us free so that now we can just kind of frolic through life. God is raising us up and making us strong so that we can lead others to peace and wholeness. Friends, this is God's vision for us. That we would be oaks, pillars and leaders of righteousness. And the word righteousness means to be in right standing and right relationship. It means that which is all that it ought to be. And by what definition or standard? God's definition and standard alone. When it comes to right, it's God's definition of right. When it comes to what ought to be, it's what God says ought to be. There are over 7 billion opinions on the face of this planet. There's only one that really matters. There's only one that we will need to be standing before the Creator and measuring our lives against. Oaks of righteousness. Friends, we're looking to see God's Spirit come upon us in a greater degree. We're also looking to see our lives count in a greater degree in mission. But it will not happen if God doesn't change us to a greater degree. Strengthen us that we would be a people, notice, that are for the display of His splendor. It's not about people looking at you and I and thinking how great we are, how great our church is, or anything like that. It's about them realizing how awesome God is. Like Dan, who described, you know what? The one thing, the one common factor that he saw in all these different people that he crossed paths with from this church is that they were all on fire for Jesus. What a great story and testimony. Amen. So I commend those of you who live it and live it well so others can see. But here's the point, the credit and glory in your outlines of our strength, our uprightness, and our wholeness all that is seen in our lives will go to the Lord, for we are a planting of the Lord for the display, the revealing of his splendor and greatness. Verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Circle the word rebuild, circle the word restore, circle the word renew. Friends, this is our vision. Rebuilding, restoring, and renewing. Rebuilding community and homes. Restoring relationships and families. Restoring a sense of worth and purpose. Renewing vision. Renewing passion. Renewing life. Amen. In your outlines, we will be a people who take back what has been lost and stolen and make it right again. Make it right. Make it all that it ought to be. Make it good as God defines good. Can you imagine, friends? What would happen if every one of us in this room today walks out of here empowered by the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to go and do these things. What would it look like, church, if every one of us became an oak, a pillar, a leader of righteousness? In our home, in our community. What would happen if every one of us rose up to lead in our workplace, in our home, to lead in righteousness? Not being wishy-washy, not being tossed back and forth by the trials and temptations of life, not being sucked into the temporal pursuits of this world's treasures and pleasures. What would happen if we became unwaveringly devoted to God's standard and God's mission and call? Are we willing to step out into the unknown, into the uncomfortable? Are we willing to seek God in a greater level, a greater degree, a greater surrender? Are we willing to trust God to step out of the boat and walk on water? Do we dare to walk with him and face the demons of hell? Are we willing to go in to get the mess of people's broken lives and make that difference? Are we willing to face the storms so that we can be the calmer of those storms? What would happen, friends, if we were a spirit-filled people that were willing to lay it all down for eternity? I'd like you to close your eyes. And I want you to focus on Jesus, and I want you to think about this text. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And he has anointed me to go and proclaim the good news. No matter where you're at in your relationship with God, I want to invite you right now to ask God to meet you in this way. I want every single person to join me in saying this prayer. Simple. Holy Spirit, come. Those three words. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to pray it like you mean it. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to pray it like you believe it. Holy Spirit, come. I want you to pray it like you receive it. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come upon your people. Anoint your people. Raise your people up as mighty oaks, as leaders and chiefs in their home, their workplace, their neighborhoods, their community, and beyond. Father, you have not done the work so that we could just be churchgoers and church stayers. You called us to be a people that go. And God, we just accept right now that what you've called us to is so different and so much more than what we typically think of and what most churches are communicating. This safe and comfortable little routine of going to church on Sunday morning, read my Bible throughout the week, say prayers over my meal, and start making better moral choices. God, you have called us to something bigger, something greater, something otherworldly, something that makes a difference for eternity, something that changes people's lives in the here and now, and something that transforms them into something beyond this world. Lord, there's a mission that you've called each one of us to, and it will not be easy, and it will not be free. It will cost us. It will require a surrender and a laying down of all that we are and all that we have. But the outcome will be something so much greater and so much more than we could have ever achieved on our own and for ourselves. Holy Spirit, come. Empower your people. Holy Spirit, come and equip us for the work that lies before us in the years to come. Holy Spirit, come and do something far beyond any human strategy and any human effort. I pray, Father, that from this day forward, that however people look at Open Arms Community Church and we who are a part of that story, I pray that when they look at us, they will see Jesus. And that in whatever success, whatever strength, whatever achievement takes place, that it will be for the display of your splendor and your glory. Lord, I truly believe the greater things are yet to come. But I also know that it is impossible to grab on to what's next if we're still holding on to what has been. So I pray right now you will help us to let go. Let go of our past failures. Let go of our past successes and grab on. Grab on with both hands to where you're taking us.